So today I would like to talk about pornography and related sins or addictions. I'm going to focus on pornography, but if you have an issue that's other than that, but it's an addiction or something that isn't even an addiction, but something that you're ensnared in any kind of way, I think this will apply. So as we look at pornography, I want to look at the statistics. And they don't have anything really recently that I've seen, but so you can imagine with the way the internet has spread so strong that the statistics have actually gotten worse as far as pornography goes. Back in 2006, a survey reported that 50% of all Christian men, and believe it or not, 20% as well as women, Christian women, these are not just all women, but Christian men and women are addicted to pornography. And if 50% are addicted, that would mean another what percentage is also having some sort of trouble. So the troubles with pornography amongst Christians is huge. And the statistics even get worse when we talk about younger, like boys between 13 and 18. The statistics go sky high. So be aware of that. But I want to focus on just Christian men particularly, because I'm a Christian male, and that's why I want to specifically look at my life, because I want to tell you my personal story of hope. And I want to share that because I know that statistically many people in this audience right now are dealing with pornography and or other kinds of addictions and other sins, things that you have in your life that you feel like you just can't seem to get rid of. And I feel sometimes that maybe just hearing a story from somebody else who's gone through something and has been able to get out of it might be helpful. Again, regardless whatever the kind of addiction that you're in, consider your addiction when you're hearing my story. So for me, and I've talked about it before, at 17 is when I really had a major shift in my life where I was transformed from a person that had almost no interest in God at all. I believed in God to where that was what my life was going to be all about. It was a 180-degree change for me when I was 17 years old. I wanted God in my life in every single way. I wanted him to be central to who I was. And that took place when I was 17 years old. However, I still, even with that kind of transformational change where I went from not caring to really wanting God in my life, I still dealt with the issue of pornography for a long time after that. And I want to make that clear because I think often we might think that somebody that's struggling with an addiction such as pornography, we might think, well, you just must not care about God. That's not true. And I can tell you that from my own personal experience that I absolutely did, but I still had a very hard time with pornography. It was very difficult, and it went on for a long, long time. The way it really got going, I shouldn't say got going, it got going when I was young, but once I was 17, that's kind of where I'm starting my story. When I was 17, there was no internet. Al Gore hadn't invented it yet, right? There was no internet at that point, and where I saw pornography was just basically like in 7-Elevens. And back then, in a 7-Eleven, they didn't have to put covers over anything. You know, you could just walk in the store, and there it was staring you in the face. And so already in my life, I did not want that temptation to pull me in, but it did. It just did. And there was a hole in me that wanted to be filled, and that's the only way I can give the description, because it just pulled me like a magnet. You know, when I saw it, I just found myself there, and as much as I didn't want it to pull me there, it just seemed to pull me there. Then the problem got worse. I worked for UPS for a number of years as a driver, and the temptation was everywhere because I had a business route, and every single business I went to, it seemed, had posters of naked women throughout the offices. That's just the way it was. Everywhere I went, stop after stop after stop. And so Even though I didn't want to look at those pictures, it was like I went in there and I just got pulled in. I prayed about this every day, I think. I tried to exercise self-discipline. I would say, okay, I'm going to walk into this place, and here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to not look over there, because after a while, you know where they all are, right? And I try to exercise that self-discipline, and next thing you know, I'm pulled right back where I don't want to go. I would make commitments to God. You know, God, I'm here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to commit, and next, I just get sucked right back in. And so, no matter it seemed like, no matter how much Bible reading I would do, no matter how much prayer I would do, no matter how much I committed myself, I would continue to get pulled back in to the temptation of looking at the various things that I saw on these walls. Then as my career developed, the temptation of all these pictures everywhere I went, every stop, that lessened, you know, and I was in an office environment. And it wasn't nearly as bad, but still, when the temptation would arise, if I was in an airport, for example, or you know, a friend was wanted to show me a picture or something like that, it would still come up. And so it wasn't as frequent, but it was still an issue where I couldn't just seem to kick it. It was like, why is this still in my life? Why is it still sucking me in? I am pursuing God in my life. I am praying. I am growing in the Lord, but it's still going on. And as I just said, I grew spiritually through this process. It wasn't like I just was stagnant and I wasn't growing. In many areas of my life, I was growing. I truly was. You know, and I'm telling you that honestly. I grew, and yet I still struggled with this issue of pornography. I remember a time making a solemn commitment to God that I will never, ever, 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 ever get sucked into that again. Ever. And I got sucked right back in. I still struggled no matter what I seemed to do. One of the things that, time out I have on the top of this screen now. One of the things that I felt like in my struggle, you know, I might go for some time without getting sucked in anything, and then boom, there I was, pulled into pornography, and I would feel like God put me in time out. You know, a time where, you know, you're a bad boy, you know you shouldn't have been doing that, and you know, I felt shame, and so I felt like I was put in time out from God, and that it would take 3 to 4 or 5 days sometimes before I was in a position where God has, you know, okay, you're allowed out of your time out, you've paid your punishment, I'll relate to you. You know, I don't have it wasn't clear in my mind what was going on. I just didn't feel like I could address God for a number of days after an event where I was pulled into pornography. Praying for help and forgiveness, for me, felt like a worn-out recording at that point. It's like, you know, after praying, I don't know how many times, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, God help me not to do this again, God forgive me, and please help me not to do this again. When you do that for day after day, and then after year, you get to the point where, God, I know, you know, if I were you, I would be really tired of me. Because I keep telling you the same old story. You know, I've been telling you for years now, please forgive me, and I won't do it again, and help me out, and you know, I'm going to never, never do this again, and please forgive me, and help. And I just felt like I'm just a worn-out recording with God. He's got to be sick and tired of dealing with Bob and his pornography problem. Why don't you just get serious and stop? You know you're not supposed to do it. Just stop doing it. And so, you know, that was kind of the boat I was in. I felt just an amazing amount of guilt, shame, defeat. I think the worst part was for me the shame, because the shame, you know, pornography is not something you want to tell everybody you're doing. You know, there's a lot of sins you can do, and it's like okay with everybody that you do them. You know, if you have an anger problem, everybody kind of, you know, you got an anger problem, that's all right, you got to work. But there's something about pornography. You won't see a lot of guys, if I say, how many are into pornography, you won't see a lot of hands go up, okay? It's something that we aren't proud of, and it's shameful, and we don't want to tell anybody. I didn't tell people, you know? I'm all about accountability, but I believe in accountability. Should I? Oh, no, I wasn't going to share that. And it, because it's shameful, and it made me feel like, you know, just dirty. I'm not clean enough to relate to God. I just felt a sense of shame. That's how I could describe it. And of course, just defeat. I mean, I've been trying to solve this for so long. And, you know, I'm generally a pretty self-confident person, so it was especially in my face. You are a failure in this area. You have not been able to kick this problem. And so in that state of mind, I got to really just a point where I was really, really low. And I just felt like you know, in that area, I'm just a failure. And God, is it ever going to ever change? Is this like going to be me for the rest of my life? That, you know, you're growing as a Christian in lots of ways, but not in that way. And at that point, this little thought came to my mind that was really the germinating thought that began a change in me. I thought to myself, you know, it's a good thing my hope isn't in who I am, but who Christ is. Good thing. And the more I thought about it, you know, it is a good thing. And it's not just a good thing for me, somebody dealing with pornography, or somebody that's dealing with, they don't think they have any addictions. You know what? None of us are worthy enough to be before God without a Savior. None of us. And I knew that, but there was something about dealing with my sin that directly, that with such hopelessness, that made that so clear to me, that it's just a good thing. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And I knew I was in Christ Jesus, but this takes on new meaning when you really feel low, when you really feel like you need a Savior. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the life-giving Spirit in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made the one who did not know sin, meaning Christ, to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. In Christ, I am the righteousness of God. I mean, that's an incredible thought. All of us, if we are in Christ, no matter what's going on in your life, in Christ, it's like we get a step behind one of those men. In Christ, now it's Christ in front of me, and that's who God's looking at when he's looking at our life. In Christ, we become the righteousness of God. And that at that moment, as that germinating thought was starting to grow, I was thinking, wow, my hope, I mean, it's in Christ. It's not in me. I mean, all this time I had been focused on me. And the focus should not have been on me. The focus should be on who I am in Christ, not who I am just as a person on this earth. Who I am in Christ, in front of God, I am in Christ. In Christ, I am made righteous before God. Even when I'm wallowing in my sin of pornography, even at that moment. And that is very important because it's easy to feel like I am righteous in Christ when I'm living a good Christian life. But that's not how the scripture, there was no qualification in that scripture. It didn't have, you know, and it said it just plainly. I am righteous in Christ even in the midst of my sin and addiction. Even at that point, because of Jesus Christ, I am made righteous. Psalm 103, 10 to 14 goes like this. He does not deal with us as our sins deserve. He does not repay us as our misdeeds deserve. For as the skies are high above the earth, so his loyal love toward us, loyal love towers over his faithful followers. As far as the eastern horizon is from the west, so he removes the guilt of our rebellious actions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his faithful followers. For he knows what we are made of. He realizes we are made of clay. So if that's true, then why does God put me in time out when I'm in sin? He doesn't put me in time out when I'm in sin. I put myself in time out when I'm in sin. At that point, that became very clear to me. This is a psychological thing I'm doing. I get it. I'm in shame. And in my shame, I feel unworthy of God. And so I put myself in time out. That way I don't have to face God. And instead I kind of think, well, it's God put me there. No, God didn't put me there. I put myself there because I didn't want to face him with the truth of who I am. And I didn't want to face him with the truth of who I am because I didn't think that I would be worthy to relate to him at that point. I felt like it was something that I was deserving. And the more I thought about deserving, the more that kind of like deserving. Now, what do you mean deserving, Bob? You mean you, it sounds kind of like legalism or self-righteousness, doesn't it? If I thought that God put me in time out because I was undeserving of him, then the reverse of that is that I must have thought that I deserve to be with him the rest of the time. So what are you saying, Bob? I'm talking to myself. You're saying that you, the rest of the time, earned your relationship with God? I thought it was a gift from God. And I realized at that point that I'm living a legalistic life. Even though I'm totally against legalism, I thought I was doing it. I was doing it in my own subtle way, where I felt good about relating to God only when I was doing well spiritually. But when I'd fall in temptation and sin, then I felt like I couldn't relate to God. That is a form of self-righteousness and legalism. And I thought that's just completely backwards. God loves me all the time, not at this time versus that time. His love is not like that. So there's no such thing as time out from God. That's our deal. That's not God's deal. He's never asking us to go to time out. So then I got to the point where I really thought, okay, Bob, this is my question to myself. Do I trust that you, talking to God, do I trust you, God, that you love me even when I'm in the middle of my sin of pornography? Do I trust you that much? Because I got to the point where cognitively I knew that that was true. But do I trust it in my heart? Do I truly believe that when I am looking at a picture I should not be looking at that point God loves me just as much as any other time? Do I really believe that? So what I decided I would do is I decided I need to test this out. I need to work through this issue between me and God. And so I thought, here's what I'm going to do. God, I am going to look you in the eye next time I am in the middle of my sin. See, I already feel good about relating to you when I'm doing well spiritually. It's when I'm not doing well and when I'm caught into my sin that I, in my shame, distance myself from you and in my shame go into my time out. So what I'm going to do, God, is I am going to decide to look you in the eye when I am in my worst, most shameful position. And that's when I'm going to do it. And I'm going to look you in the eye, and instead of saying, you must not like me, instead I'm going to say, God, thank you that you love me right now. Thank you that your son died on the cross for me, And my sins, what I'm doing right now, you have forgiven. Thank you. I'm going to turn this into where I am putting all the focus on who God is and what he's done for me, and instead of who I am and that it's somehow my performance that makes me worthy of that relationship. You see, I decided it became all about me. The whole relationship with God had become about how good I was, then decided my relationship with him. And that was wrong. And it was like, God, I'm going to make this about you. I'm going to make this about focusing on you, focusing on your love. And your love and your forgiveness and your death on the cross is actually magnified in my sin. I mean, it's at that point that it will become the most clear to me. So I made this decision with God that, God, I am going to look you in the eye at that point, and I am going to determine to trust you at that time in my life. And that is what I did. And the fact of the matter is that was a very transforming experience for me. By doing that, I found relating to God at that point, it was like eye-opening. It was transforming, is all I can tell you. I realized deep in my heart, God loves me all the time. All the time, not most of the time, but he loves me all the time. Secondly, it really became clear to me that sin isn't what separated from me from God. It wasn't my sin, it was my shame. My shame is what separated me from God, moving me away because I didn't want to face what I was doing. And my craving for pornography vanished. It was an incredible transforming experience that I don't know even how to explain it. The best explanation I can provide or even an illustration is that I had a hole in my heart that I was filling by using pornography. I don't know that I thought of it that way, but it was like there was a hunger or something. And that God, it's like when you go to, you're hungry for a meal, but then after you're full, it's not that appetizing anymore. That's kind of the change. It wasn't like I'm not aware of what images I might see out there, but they don't have the same effect on me. It's like I see things differently. I had a transformed way of seeing the world. I no longer saw women pictures or even it affected me in lots of ways, by the way, but I just don't see life the same way. It's like a whole perspective change. It was a spiritual enlightenment, you might say, or something of that nature. It's hard to describe. But I have never since then seen life the same way, and nor have I ever since then been pulled into pornography in any kind of way that was similar to how it was back at that time. I was changed. I was transformed once and for all. And it was an amazing, for me, testimony to what God can do to me. And that truly we can have a spiritual change that changes the very core of who we are, not just self-discipline to make everything work, but truly a mind transformation. You know, it says in Romans 2:12-2, do not be conformed to this world, this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I felt like that's what took place in my heart that day, is that I had a complete mind transformation where I did no longer have to act out of discipline and grit, that the pull, the magnetism, the whole thing has just left me. I don't see it that way anymore. I'm not drawn to it. So there was a few conclusions that I drew from my experience as kind of a life change, because that experience was extremely life-changing for me, and it also gave me some principles, you might say, that I've continued to apply throughout other areas of my life. The first, as I talked about, is that it is so important for me, and it was then, to really get in touch with the fact that God loves me all the time. He does not love me because I'm performing well. He loves me because he's my creator. He loves me because he has decided he's going to love me. He made me, he loves me, and I need to trust that all the time. Still in my life, that issue comes up where I feel like, do I really believe that you love me? And I spent a lot of my time in bed imagining God cradling me and loving me because I realized how important it is to trust that God loves me all the time. Secondly, I can always have relationship with God. No more time out, ever. That's baloney. Don't ever get stuck in that thinking. I can always have a relationship with God. He will never turn away from me. Thirdly, my hope must only lie in the finished work of Jesus Christ, never myself. I realized through that process how much I was trying to earn my way into relationship with God, earn my way into being a good Christian man, earn my way into spirituality, earn my way. And it's not about earning our way. It's about accepting who Christ is in our life. It's about trusting God that it is Him that makes us righteous, not our actions. And last, that real change is about spiritual transformation. Real change for me did not come from self-discipline. Through my self-discipline acts, I got virtually nowhere. Now, I'm not against self-discipline, don't get me wrong, but it's not transformational. It's kind of like self-discipline will take, you know, you get so much to work with, who you are, and you use self-discipline then with based on that, but it's not mind-changing. See, it was the transformation of my mind that changed everything, where I'm not even drawn. I don't need self-discipline now. The spiritual change made it so that, you know, even today, if for whatever reason on the internet I click the wrong button and something comes up, I don't have to suddenly try to enact self-discipline. Because what I see is, oh, that's too bad that that person is felt the need to, you know, I mean, the way I think about it, it's not, it would have used to been, oh no, you know, I wasn't ready for that. How do I get ready for that self-discipline? You know, it popped on me. That's not how it is anymore. It was transformational. And real change in the Christian life, I believe, is completely from the inside out, where the Spirit changes who we are. And with that change, yes, we use self-discipline. But the real spiritual change is a completely transformational thing, where who we were is no longer who we are. We become new creations over and over into more and more what Christ wants us to become, not self-discipline. So I guess I just want to close with just I don't know if it's a challenge or just a hope and a prayer, that if you're dealing with any kind of addiction, if you're dealing with something that you're ensnared with, and you've been trying, and you feel like you just can't get out of it, then I really encourage you to seek a transformational difference in your life. And it's not like there's some prescription for this. It's not like you can say, okay, fine, I'm going to go home and transform. A transformational change means that God is working in your life. And for that to happen, I believe we have to trust Him. And to trust something is not something that you just seem to be able to decide to do. It's something that you come to believe. It's something that you finally say, yes, I trust. And you make that spiritual step. But what we do decide is that we're going to move in that direction. We do decide that we're going to join the men's group. We do decide that we're going to join that Bible study, that we're going to read the Bible, that we're going to pursue God, that we're going to pursue that transformational change. And I pray that you don't give up hope that your addiction, your ensnarement is impossible for for God, because I truly felt that after dealing with it years and years and years, that it was just not going to happen. It is not impossible at all. What we need is a transformational change. So let's just pray.